Today we continue our sermon series, Holy Risk, looking at risk-taking activities that our faith calls us to, and today's focus is on the risk for asking for and receiving help. And we'll look at the story that that our choir just sung so beautifully. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This story very intentionally takes place in the shadow of Jericho. Of all the places where blind Bartimaeus could have been asking for help, this is where he was, in Jericho. And I just want to remind you quickly of probably the most well-known story about Jericho, when the Israelites were making their way into the land of Canaan. Joshua was the leader, and he sent two spies into Jericho to figure out what that stronghold looked like from the inside. And so they went, and when they entered the city, the king found out and was pursuing them, and they hid in the home of Rahab. And Rahab put them up on the roof of her apartment. Her apartment was in the wall of Jericho, and put them up on the roof, put flax over them so no one could find them. And then she sent the henchmen for the king off in the wrong direction to look for them. And then she said, "Hey, look, guys, I want to make a deal with you. I believe that this city is going to fall. And when it does, I want you all to save me and my family. And if you do, I will help you get out of the city." And they say, "Deal." And so she lowers them out the window and off they go. They meet up with Joshua, and Joshua leads the army to siege Jericho and does it in a most unusual way. The Lord has given them a non-conventional battle strategy. They each day go around the city once a day with the Ark of the Covenant there and some priests blowing out the trumpet, and then they stop for the day. The next day, the same thing. For 6 days, they do this. And then on the seventh day, they go around seven times, and on the seventh time, all the people of Israel in one voice shout. And when they shout, the walls come tumbling down. Everyone is lost except for Rahab, promises kept. This story strikes me as sort of a tale of two approaches. On the one hand, there are the spies who receive help, and in receiving help, they find life. And on the other hand, there are the people of Jericho who put all of their trust in their walls. And of course, those mighty walls fall. Which will we be? Are we the kind of people that put our trust in our walls? Or are we the kind of people who allow ourselves to receive help? If I were going to do a poll with you all on examples of strength, my guess is if you were thinking biblically, you probably would say Samson as your first choice. If you were thinking mythologically, you would probably say Hercules from Greek mythology. If you watched mixed martial arts last night, you probably would say Ronda Rousey, 17-second knockout, incredible. If you're watching action movies, you would probably say something like The Rock or John Cena, or if you're old like me, you would say Arnold, and that would be all you'd have to say. I seriously doubt, though, that any of you would say, "You know, when I think of strength, I think of blind Bartimaeus." That is not a conventional answer. But I want to challenge you to think about Bartimaeus's strength today. His strength comes not through muscle power, but through courage and a willingness to ask for help. Instead of putting up a wall, he opens himself up to receive help. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. A word came to mind about this story from the scripture that's often viewed negatively. That word is disillusionment. We think of it as kind of a bad word. You're cynical if you're disillusioned. You are disappointed with the world. You feel like something has let you down, and therefore you are disillusioned. However, when you really think about the word, it is not such a bad thing. Because technically, to be disillusioned is to let go of your illusions of what is not true. I think it takes a lot of strength to ask for help because we work so hard in propping up our illusions. We want to believe that we have it all together. And we want other people to believe that we have it all together. We want to be the kind of people who can offer help to anyone that's in need, but none of us relishes the need to be helped. How many of us know someone in our lives who would rather circle the destination for 3 hours than stop and ask for directions? Please don't point to them right now. How many of us have found ourselves very willing when the neighbor knocks on the door and asks for something, but then when it's our turn and we need an egg, how many of us will go lose an hour, drive to the grocery store to go buy eggs, and then come home rather than just walk over and in 30 seconds knock on the door and say, hey, could I borrow an egg? How many of us know someone who will walk around out of breath with swollen limbs, with a fast heartbeat and pain in their chest and swear they just need to get in shape and not go get their heart checked out for heart disease? We clutch onto our illusions like pearls. Bartimaeus may have been physically blind, but he could see that he needed help. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus doesn't ask for help because he is weak. He asks for help because he's strong enough to know his own weakness. Blind Bartimaeus is disillusioned in the best way possible. Now, in Mark's version of this story, Jesus shows up in Jericho and then leaves immediately. We don't hear anything about what happens in Jericho. In Luke's version, we get a little more detail. In Luke's version, there's this wee little man named Zacchaeus who climbs up onto a sycamore tree in order to be able to see Jesus. And Jesus sees him. And Zacchaeus is a tax collector. That is an odious profession in Jesus' time. And Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. And the crowd, Luke tells us, immediately begins to grumble. It says that all who saw Jesus go to his house grumbled, saying, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Well, as Zacchaeus and Jesus are talking, Zacchaeus repents of his wayward ways, and he says, you know, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor, and anyone that I have ripped off, I'm going to restore what I took fourfold. And then Jesus says, in a loud enough stage whisper that anyone who had been grumbling could hear, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. I am convinced that no one in that grumbling crowd had any idea that when Jesus said he came to seek out and save the lost, that he was talking about them too. It's really interesting. Mark and Luke both go to great effort to make sure we know how big that crowd is surrounding Jericho, and yet there is no record of anyone outside of Bartimaeus asking for Jesus to help them in any way. No one else in the crowd outside of the city asked Jesus to help them in any way. Were all of those people so well put together they didn't need help? Were none of them lost too? The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. One of the ongoing struggles in the identity of the church is whether the church is to be a place where people who have it all together come to celebrate, or if we are a place where people who are falling apart come to help get put back together. We can fool ourselves sometimes, we can fool each other sometimes, but we cannot fool God. Statistically speaking, in this room, 25% of us have some type of mental health struggle. 76% of us have some type of physical health struggle. 57% of us have experienced a major loss in the last 3 years. 17% of us have some kind of addiction. 38% of us are estranged from a family member. And for those of you who think you don't have anything going on, 100% of you are wrong. But I've got good news. Jesus didn't come to give us a pat on the back to tell us what a good job we're doing of holding it all together. He came to save us. And what he said to Bartimaeus was this: what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? How do we need to answer that question? What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus overcomes quite a bit as he experiences healing. The first thing he has to overcome is distinguishing the voices around him. Because as he calls out, "Son of David, have mercy on me," we hear that many sternly ordered him to be quiet. And he realizes that those aren't voices he needs to listen to. And he does what I think makes us all respect him. He cries out more loudly, "Have mercy on me." He ignores those voices that are holding him back from healing. And then Jesus was clearly out of earshot, at least for normal decibels, because he says, "Call him to me," to those that are around him. So other people go to Bartimaeus and say, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And then what Bartimaeus does is astounding. He throws off his cloak, he sprang up, and he goes to Jesus. Bartimaeus didn't just put his feet up, kick back, and say, "Jesus, come on, you do this for me." He put in his work. He put in his work. He does his part in the journey of healing. This past February, I did one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life. I ordered picking up wings 30 minutes before the Super Bowl. I thought that they would be ready. And when I went to the wing shop, there was just all these people outside the door looking really grumpy. And I went in and said, "Oh, is my order ready?" And they laughed. And they said, "It'll be a while." And there I was standing inside this shop that's half the size of our living room, waiting for my wings. And I looked around and I was like, I feel like I am a calf being fattened here. And thought about the tradition that we have of watching sport events while pounding unhealthy food. Isn't it just the craziest thing? You're watching these athletes saying to yourself, "Wow, I really want to get in shape. I want to be an athlete like them too." As you chomp into a deep fried wing and you convince yourself it's a healthy meal because there's like one little sprig of a carrot or celery and you ask for more ranch. We want these things, but are we willing to do what we need to do in order to experience them? How often do we want something, but we kick back and just expect it to come to us? If we want to get well, if we want to receive healing, we have to participate. We have to put in the work of distinguishing between the voices around us, put in the work of springing up. Now, sometimes our work is just about being honest with ourselves, honest with Jesus, honest with those around us. Sometimes it's about surrounding ourselves with encouraging voices, getting in the right group. Sometimes it's about just making an appointment. Sometimes it's about asking for accountability. Getting help is not passive. We have to put in the work. What do you need to do as you ask for help? This story takes place in the shadow of Jericho, and Bartimaeus is reminding us that the power of the walls of Jericho is not the only way to be strong. He shows us a strength that is disillusioned in the best way possible. He shows us a strength that doesn't come from a wall, but from a willingness to receive help. May we be inspired by Bartimaeus' strength and step out of the shadow of our walls. Amen.